It's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning. You're very welcome along to the 9 to noon show here in Highland Radio with me, Greg Hughes. And we have a very busy show lined up for you, as we always do, of course. We've got the usual mix of news, views and features. A busy show, but always space for your contributions. 086 60 25,000, that's the WhatsApp and text number. 086 60 25,000. Or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. If you want to email, it is comments at highlandradio.com. And if you want to watch the show, we're on the YouTube app, so you can watch it on your smart TV or your Fire Stick, across Facebook and on the X platform. Chantilly just before 9 about honeybees and beekeeping. It's probably something we could do a wee feature on one of our slots, actually, because it is a fascinating area, and what the social structure of bees and how they create the honey and how they, you know, have so much respect for the queen or can overthrow and all that kind of stuff. It is actually really quite fascinating. If there's any appetite for that, I certainly would be up for doing something on that. Right, let's see. Thursday, lots in the newspapers. So let's start with the Dairy People Donegal News. Morale among social workers in Donegal is being decimated as they struggle with growing pressure and mounting caseloads, it's been claimed. Some social workers have left their roles with TUSLA to work with the HSC or in the private sector, with one even considering leaving their high pressure job to work in a local supermarket. The situation has been highlighted by the Forsa Trade Union in response to a internal review of TUSLA in Donegal, which revealed delays in assessing reports of abuse, neglect or mistreatment of children due to intractable staffing problems and burnout. The review completed in November 2023, was revealed to the Irish Times through the Freedom of Information Act. I believe actually it was AIN2 that sourced that information, not the paper itself, the Irish Times. But in any case, you know, it's one of those things that we are seeing children, who are one of our most important assets, if I could put it to you like that. You know, widespread mistreatment, widespread abuse. And the agency that's responsible for sort of intervening them and, you know, getting them out of that situation or supporting the family or whatever it might be, is struggling to do that in our own county. And it should really be a bigger deal, shouldn't it? We should be furious about this. You know, we spend an awful lot of time talking about, you know, various issues. A lot of them all come back to our well-being, our welfare, you know, the safety of children or whatever it might be. And yet here we have an awful lot of cases in Donegal of children being abused, being mistreated, not being reared correctly. And TUSLA, the agency responsible for it, under-resourced, overstretched, the staff are overstretched. And I just don't think it's getting the attention it should. I think any parent or non-parent should be furious about it, that that's how our children are being treated. John McAteer is writing in the Draconal Tribune with an overview of the presidential race. He's described the Aras contest as a slow bicycle race. With the presidential election 8 weeks away, it's still a slow bicycle race, with the choice of runners failing to impress the electorate. The turnout for the 2018 election was the lowest on record, with only 43.8% turning up to vote on October 26th, 2018, despite six names on the ballot paper. And that was a, you know, there was a mixture of candidates there that you would have imagined would have driven a greater turnout, but only 4 out of 10 people bothered. Well, Deputy Patricope Gallagher perhaps illustrated the unease within Fianna Fáil. He's called for an urgent meeting of the parliamentary party. He said this meeting will allow Micheál Martin to inform the party of his nomination, and if he fails to do so, he should be given 48 hours or else the members will do so. The parliamentary party needs to hear from Micheál Martin about why he's dragging his heels on the selection of a candidate, he said. Asked if he heard from the Taoiseach over the summer, Patricope said, "No, I have not, and I'm not aware of any consultation whatsoever with any other candidates. Our leader has known for 7 years there's going to be an election before the end of October. There is no reason why we cannot make a decision from within the Fianna Fáil gene pool, and there are a number of strong and worthy contenders," he said. And I think the pressure is starting to sort of maybe get through to Micheál Martin. There is some suggestion that he will announce over the weekend where they're going with that. So we'll see. The Derry news this morning. Derry City and Strabane District Councillor Raymond Barr has described the case of his sister Denise O'Donnell, 19, as screaming corruption. Nothing has changed since 1976 when we see the corruption around other cases, he added. Speaking to the Derry News, Councillor Barr said his family was now calling for a fresh inquest into Daniel's death following the recent decision by the controversial Independent Commission for Reconciliation and Information Recovery not to examine her case, which would be a very difficult pill for any family to swallow. The Irish Times this morning, and this may affect some of you or those in your household, the random selection process has again been criticised as deeply unfair after some students who achieved maximum points in their Leaving Cert lost out on their first preference for college courses yesterday. In all, 51% of third level applications received their first choice following the initial round of offers from the Central Applications Office, with 4/5 being offered one of their top three college choices. However, places on 25 level 8 courses in high demand were allocated using random selection. Two of these courses required the maximum 625 points for entry, meaning some top performing applicants missed out while others got in. So, I mean, as I say, you know, we're not talking about an awful lot of people across the entire country that received maximum points. You would think, after putting all those years into school and obviously applying yourself very well, that you would be successful. And yet there are more with those scores than there are spaces. They have to do this randomised draw, which is unfair. They do that for bus seats as well, trying to get to school too, or they did in the past. But of course, we are dealing with people who got the results this year, more generally speaking, competing for places with perhaps students who got their results last year or the year before, and they were artificially inflated post-COVID. There is still some level of inflation in points this year, but, you know, if others held off knowing that the inflation wouldn't be as great the next year, arguably they could have an advantage, or even take a position from a student who is better qualified than them, who might make a better fist of it. I don't know. It's not really relevant to me, but I can understand why it should bother some. The Irish Independent reports today that nearly 60% of children who are experiencing bullying-type behaviour at the age of 13 do not tell an adult about it, research has suggested. And maybe it's a... If we're all in cars, maybe now's the time to talk about it. I'm just wondering, as parents, as guardians, as grandparents, you know, so 6 out of 10 children of our children, these are our children, this is a random survey of children around the country, 6 out of 10 13-year-olds could be being bullied at school but wouldn't tell us. Now, I don't think any of us would like our 13-year-old to sort of be enduring that on their own, not talk to us, that we can, you know, talk them through it, come up with solutions, maybe go to the school. 6 out of 10 13-year-olds who are being bullied won't tell someone about it. Children who were bullied at aged 9 have power well-being and higher depression scores by the time they reach 13, according to the report by the ESRI. New research by the ESRI looked at the experience of bullying among 9-year-olds and 13-year-olds in and outside school. Poorer well-being and higher depression at age 13 were found among those who experienced more frequent bullying and behaviour involving the same person. A link was found between being excluded by peers and both poor well-being and greater depression. So maybe a reason I'm reading that is that sometimes, well, it seems in most cases, it's possible that our children could be being bullied or upset at school and they're not telling us, they're keeping it to themselves. So I just thought I'd read that out in case that resonates. Awful situation in the United States. 2 children were killed and 17 other people injured when a shooter opened fire during a US school's prayers yesterday. This is in the Irish Daily Mail. The attacker, who was identified as a transgender person, Robin Westman, stormed in with a semi-automatic rifle, shotgun and pistol before pepper spraying bullets through windows during mass. The 23-year-old shot dead 2 children aged 8 and 10 and wounded 17 others, including 14 pupils at the Annunciation campus Catholic school in Minneapolis, as up to 100 bullets were fired. Westman died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Seven children aged between 6 and 14 are in a critical condition in hospital. He produced a manifesto, and I read much of it last night, most of it last night, just to try and get some sort of an insight into why anyone would do this. You know, the easiest thing in the world would be to say, and I'm not a psychologist, and I'm certainly not going to try and get into a space I'm not comfortable with, but the easiest thing in the world would be to say that, oh, the person was mad or unhinged or whatever it might be. And you know, I mean, obviously to do this, you have to be unhinged, right? But reading through the manifesto and it was scrawlings he had done over months and months and months, he was building up to it. It was considered, he was fully aware of the impact this might have on his victims, on his family. He talked of his love for his family and their love for him and how they might deal with it. But he, over time, got to a point whereby he had reconciled all of that and was determined to do what he wanted to do. He wanted to emulate his heroes in mass shootings, so to speak. The amount of weapons he was able to get together, a small army would have been okay with that. Absolutely unbelievable stuff. And he recorded a video which he posted to YouTube too, which it was the day before, I believe. Well, in fact, I know for a fact it was the day before. And, you know, cool, calm and collected. Clearly not right, don't get me wrong. But I think this would be worthwhile material for people to analyze and try and understand what is going on. You think it's a random act, you think it's just something that happens in a moment or something, but the level of planning and self-awareness, awareness of consequences, disregarding those consequences, certainly there's learnings that need to be taken from that, I think. The Irish Farmers Journal, breeding ewe, boggart returns are up on average by 40 to 50 euro a head, with a percentage of the highest quality hoggets, in special sales exceeding 400 euro per head at the Mio Mule and Greyface Group Premier Sale held in Ballinarobe. 90% of hoggets exceeded 300 euro a head, compared with just 10% in 24 and 16%. Of hoggets surpassed 400 euro per head. That's just the tip of the iceberg of what's in that paper today. Desperate Gazans queue for food as the number of deaths caused by hunger went up by another 10 yesterday. Health officials said two children were among the latest starvation death toll, bringing the total to 313, 119 of them are minors. And Gaza's government media office says the situation is only getting worse due to ongoing Israeli restrictions on food and aid deliveries. It said the Israeli occupation authorities continue to commit a systematic starvation crime against the population of Gaza Strip. The media office also said the Israeli army has closed all crossings into Gaza and banned the entry of 430 essential food items. So what Israel is actually doing now, it's indisputable, and it's been accepted by most of the UN, he says they are starving the people of Gaza. They want them out of Gaza. They're starving to death. And I was reading some reports that some children now are so hungry that they don't cry. They're incapable of crying. So they just lie there with their bones sticking out, malnourished. And this is being done not because of a lack of water, not because of a desert environment or a blasting sun. It's being done because a Western civilized state, in inverted commas, i.e. Israel, is purposely starving these people. And the United States was the only country, and it had an opportunity. The United States had an opportunity to call it what it was, you know, and maybe put pressure and end this. And I think this should be considered really when we consider a country and you know, I suppose the wider responsibility of its people. They had an opportunity to call it what it was, and they chose not to. So the United States at this point is very, very complicit in what's happening over there. It's really regrettable too, because we've such a great relationship with America and we can welcome so many American visitors to our country and we get on really well with them. And, you know, we've got a really strong presence in America as well. But we're at a point now whereby America is complicit in arming Israel, but also in terms of not calling what it clearly is. And that is a man-made famine in a country. And then up 200 miles away, they're drinking cocktails on the beach. It's remarkable. The health minister has questioned whether the new National Children's Hospital will now be finished by next month. The delayed project in Dublin had an original completion date of August 2022, but costs have ballooned from a planned 600 million to an expected 2.3 billion after the completion of construction by main contractor BAM. The hospital will also require a commission period between 6 and 9 months before it is ready for use. Jennifer Carol McNeil sent out a press release yesterday, and she was very, very sharp in her criticism of BAM. She dismissed the fact that there is anyone else holding up this project but them. They had arranged a certain amount of rooms to hand over in advance, and they're all on different floors. You know, the government had sought a floor whereby people could go in, but they didn't. They offered them the rooms that they wanted, but scattered all over the place in the building. And the majority of that building is not finished and not fit for use at all yet. And in fairness, it was interesting and welcome, I think, to see very strong language from Minister Jennifer Carol McNeil in that regard. And finally, we'll be talking about this a little later on. Around 2,600 secretaries and caretakers are due to go on strike from today in a row over pensions after last-minute talks at the Workplace Relations Commission failed. The move comes after discussions ended with the WRC saying there was no further basis for negotiation at the moment. The dispute relates to the exclusion of secretaries and caretakers from the public service pension scheme. It's understood about 2,000 schools nationwide will be affected. So listen, if you're contacting your school and some of these people are on strike on it, you know, you might not get the emails that you're requesting, the documentation that you're seeking. The phone may not be answered like it you normally would expect. I presume come payday, there might be issues there because secretaries have a lot of responsibility in relation to that. And of course, then there is the maintenance of the grounds, the cleaning of the buildings, the toilets, etc. How are they going to cope with that? Teachers aren't going to do it because they've been instructed by their unions not to do it. So you will feel what's happening unless there is some sort of a resolution if you try and engage with your school, if people within that school are part of the union, which is striking, if that makes sense. As I mentioned there, school secretaries and caretakers who are a member of the Force of Trade Union are beginning indefinite strike action today. The union said the move is necessary because the workers are being denied access to public sector pensions and other entitlements and talks at the Workplace Relations Commission yesterday failed to resolve the dispute. Around 115 union members in Donegal will take the action, which is set to impact 90 schools. Right, we're joined on the programme now by Johnny Thompson, who's a caretaker and member of Force. Good morning, Johnny.
Well, 1 second, Greg, for this is a noisy bunch here we have on the bus here, but...
Don't you worry about that, Johnny. Well, do you know what? They sound resilient and determined, Johnny.
They're very resilient.
I take it you're on your way to Dublin, so...
We're on our way now to the Department of Public Expenditure to hold protest outside it. So,
just to give us a bit of a background to this, Johnny, we have obviously platformed the secretary's complaints for a decade now, at least here on this programme. And caretakers were always included, but we never really felt that we were getting any advance in terms of caretakers. So what is the difference now between a caretaker, how they might be employed or not, and how it's seen as unfair?
Well, I mean, for starters, Greg, our role, both secretary and caretakers, has been very undervalued by the Department of Education for, as many years. I mean, I think it's gone on over 40 years as it is. So, now just we're taking a stand. I mean, Leo Varadkar stood up on the Dáil and he said in 2020 that he was going to bring an end to the two-tier system. Which, that still hasn't happened. Secretaries was brought onto the pay scale in 2023, yet, we were promised and we're still left sitting. So Like, it's not good enough, like, you know.
So just explain that to us then on the secretary side of it, because there was an agreement reached where all school secretaries were to transfer to a new pay scale aligned with the public service clerical office scale, officer scale. And it was also said at that time that there would be a significant improvement to incomes, paid leave arrangements, and what have you. So how are we still here? And I know sort of secretaries and caretakers are the same and different at the same time, but what happened with that agreement that you've referenced there for secretaries that has left us still in this position where they're striking today?
Well, I mean, obviously there were talks, so the secretaries was brought on board, Greg, but, like, I mean, there were discussions about pensions at the time, but that fell through. And I mean, the caretakers are still left high and dry. So I mean, like, what more can we say about it? Like,
right. Okay. So I just want it to be clear for the listener. So secretaries are they're continuing that campaign for improved conditions beyond what was agreed a couple of years ago, and caretakers have been left behind altogether. So, as a caretaker, are all caretakers employed by the school, or are some employed by the Department of Education? Is there an inequality amongst caretakers in schools?
Well, I mean, if you go to ETV schools, like, I mean, they get their full entitlements, they get bereavement leave, they have pensions, they have a pay scale, whereas if you're, like myself, you're hired by the Board of Management, but still the money comes from the department. I mean, I'm a caretaker for 19 years, haven't got a raise, and I mean, like, it's unacceptable in today's standards. 11, cost 11's gone up. You know, they're making it nearly impossible, and they're degrading this job. That's what they're doing.
So you've been a caretaker for 19 years, paid by the Board of Management, but actually that money comes from the Department of Education. What happens over the summer for you, Johnny, or the Easter break or what have you? Are you paid during the school holidays?
No, you're not paid during the school holiday. You have to sign on, which is, you know what I mean? It's like, you're working for public sector, yet now you have to sign on. Mm. I mean, that's I can't understand it. And even from the secretary's point of view, they are getting paid by the department, their public service wages, but yet now they don't get a public service pension. Like, I mean, wherever would you hear the like of it? And I mean, I don't think that it happens in any other place of work that you would be getting a public service wage, but yet now you're not getting a public service pension.
You were about to say what I was about to say. You're working side by side
with SNAs, teachers, principals, and yet now, like, we have no entitlements as like what they do. And at the end of the day, now the time has come. We have to stand up for ourselves. The department has been dragging their heels about this. I mean, we talked to Norma Foley before. We talked to Helen McAtee in Galway. And they're all singing off the same hymn sheet. And, they're all telling us we're, a valued member of staff. Well, I can't go and do my shopping and say to them, well, hold on, I'm a value member of the staff and keep the change. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't matter what anybody tells you. At the end of the day, we need our pay sorted, we need our pensions, and what more can I say than that?
Is this from now going forward, or are you seeking a retrospective element to this? So say, for instance, your pension backdated 19 years, if you don't mind me using you as an example.
Right, no problem. Well, I mean, that's what we would be hoping for. I mean, we shouldn't even have to do this. Uh-huh. We should never have been in this position. We should have been getting this from day one. As I say, we're working alongside everybody else that has that. If you're working in an ETB, you start off, you automatically get these entitlements. So, I mean, you know, we need it and we're here now and whatever it takes, we're going to fight for it.
Johnny, give us an idea of the work that won't be done while you're not at work. You know, just, I mean, obviously you're flat out all day, right? You can't talk about everything that you're doing.
Right.
I just want to give listeners who may not be familiar with the school setup an idea of the importance of your role.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you don't open up, nobody gets in, first of all. And as well as that, like, I mean, I would be out on the traffic this morning, and that's rain, hail, sleet, or snow. Like, you're getting the children across. You know, it starts off from early in the morning. So you have all that to do. And just if there was snow or anything, you have to do all that salting and all that. Like, we do all that. Like, as well as that, like, I mean, going through the years, we've put awful savings toward, you know, for the school, like, with our knowledge of doing jobs. You know, so, I mean, even, I was just thinking, like, you know, today coming into the school, the children coming into the school, this is their first day in. Well, it's not the first day we have met these children coming in. The secretaries and the caretakers have met these children coming in from last year with your brothers and sisters. And, like, I mean, I can remember last year how many come over and was showing me their new bags and they wanted to come to school. So you created that friendly environment. You know, ever before, you know, the child came to that school, it left things a lot, you know, easier for the child. Like, but as I say, the government and the Department of Education is just totally forgotten about us.
Right, okay. So, well, and there's a busload of you from Donegal on your way now to...
There's a busload of us, and they're very well behaved here now at the moment, because I know I'm on the phone, and I have a secretary here sitting beside me.
All right, she's keeping an eye on you.
Braving.
Okay.
Well, she said she won't talk, so...
She will talk, okay. What's her name?
She said she won't... Brigetta Brogan.
Right, do you want to put Brigetta on too, mate?
I'll put Brigetta on. All right, thanks, Greg.
Thanks so much,
one
Johnny.
Other thing you want
Go
to
ahead,
mention.
Yeah.
Now, I would love to, you know, hopefully the parents and parents association, like as I say, I'll be in Sligo tomorrow. I'll be in, at outside my own school on Monday. And hopefully maybe the parents and maybe the parents association could be notified, you know, maybe to come out and support and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. All right, then. Thanks so much, Johnny.
All right, I'll pass you over here now.
Yeah, okay, thanks so much indeed. Brigetta, good morning to you. Thanks for chatting to me. It's Greg here.
Hello.
Hi, Brigetta. It's Greg here.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
I'm not too bad. How are you?
I'm doing fine. So, Brigetta, I mean, you would have been tracking this campaign, obviously, as you directly affected it for years and years and years. So what didn't happen in 22-23 when an agreement was publicised as having been reached that's left us still now where secretaries at the start of a new term feel they have to go on strike?
I would really love to know what it was that was the difference between my public service job and another public service person's job that they decided that we would have to have this two-tier system. I really don't know. I can't explain that to you, Greg. I just know that we should be entitled to the same and full pension rights and leave rights as every other public servant that works in a school.
It's a big decision for someone like you to go on strike indefinitely. I mean, that's a big decision to make.
It's a huge decision because we love the children. We love to be there to support the children and the teachers and the SNAs and our principal. We're getting great support from our school fraternity. Everybody is on board with this, and the messages of support we're getting is unreal. I really cannot understand why the government is not coming forward and speaking about this. It's just shocking to me at this stage of my life that I have to go on strike for a pension. I have colleagues on this bus who have been in the service for 32 years. They have to walk out of their job with nothing, not even a pension at the end of it. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. It's just crazy.
I have heard in the past from secretaries a little bit of frustration that maybe, you know, the big unions behind the teachers and others could have perhaps done more to support the campaign. that's not the case any longer, is it? It seems the teachers' unions are coming out, instructing their members not to do the work of secretaries or caretakers. Or is there still a bit of an issue there that sometimes caretakers and secretaries, as important as they are in the school, can feel sort of a bit left behind by other school members?
No, I wouldn't agree with that at all. I think that like this is the first time we've actually had a strike where every day's out. We really don't know. We're going into uncharted territory right now. We don't really know where this is going to end up. So, like, it's going to have to play out day by day. I suppose the most important thing to say is that we do the payroll for teachers, SNAs and subs. That won't be happening. That's the first immediate thing. The new kids coming in, it's going to break our hearts not to see them coming in as like we usually do. So it's just very frustrating. And I think I can speak for everybody when I say we're going to Dublin with heavy hearts.
Yeah.
We really shouldn't have to do this.
No,
we
I
really
understand.
Shouldn't have yep. to do this.
I hear that.
Like,
well, listen.
I mean, and yep. the other part of that is our jobs are not going to be done when we're not there.
Mm-hmm.
Like any work that's going to just pile up on our desk, the caretaker's work's all going to be piled up for when he goes back. So then it's going to be a catch-up when we eventually do go back.
But so, that's the whole idea of a
really
strike, isn't it? It's that you start to start to see why people's roles are important, and unfortunately, there's a cost to it. But that's why people strike. Listen, safe onward journey. A big hello to everyone. I do hope there's a resolution soon. I've no doubt most people, if not all, know the important role you secretaries and the caretakers do in schools, and you should be equal to your people who are doing the same work. I don't think anyone would disagree
Absolutely.
With.
So, yeah.
All right, take care of yourself. Yeah. Thank you so very much indeed. Okay, we'll be back shortly. So I got a notification yesterday from Irish Water to say that water supply is returning to Uisceairn customers in the Inishowen area of Donegal following the completion of essential works, and that was following an operational issue at the Ilies water treatment plant yesterday. Upper and Lower Redcastle, Quigley's Point to Muff, Ture, Clare, Maville, Lower Maville to Greencastle Road, Crook Glass, Ballywalter, Mina Venahan and surrounding areas were all affected by it. The network is currently recharging, and the majority of customers were expected to have water returned to them by 8 p.m. amongst them. I hope is Patricia McKenna. Good morning, Patricia.
Good morning, Greg, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's good.
Hello?
Come here. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Patricia, I mean, obviously, it's good to have water back in the taps, but that doesn't negate the frustration of this problematic supply. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, like, this, the water went off about just around lunchtime on Tuesday. There was no warning given. We got no warning anyway. We got no notification. My brother-in-law lives across the road. The same with him. A few neighbours we spoke to. So as the day went on, the water wasn't back on. Yesterday morning, I phoned Irish Water, and I was told, they were solving the problem, and it should be solved by 9 o'clock. That was yesterday morning, and the water would be back on, and it would give it a couple of hours. Later on that afternoon, it still wasn't on. Now, I went online to Uisceairn looking for... They had this ridiculous artificial intelligence chat thing, which is a waste of time. I got back on to them. I was on them a few times trying to find out what was going on. I discovered late yesterday afternoon that this wasn't... I assumed this was just unexpected, but it was confirmed to me by their agent on the phone that this was a scheduled... works, right?
Yeah.
I know you said they're operational issue. It was scheduled. So that really got me extremely annoyed because they hadn't notified anybody. When I said this to him, he says, oh, well, people got texts. Well, not everybody got texts. And then he says, he says, we also sent out by post a notification. I said, sorry, you did not. I said, I know that in the area, we come from Mobile, the Balnally area, we didn't get notification. As I said, my neighbours across the road didn't get it. We know that no notification came. So I said, look, this was scheduled. I said, I didn't know that all day, or I'd have been even more annoyed about it. I said, you knew you were doing this. You should have taken you should have taken all precautions to ensure people knew this was coming in advance. I mean, no advanced warning, despite it being scheduled, works. It's just unacceptable. And the reasons it's unacceptable is for so many different things. First of all, we couldn't wash our hands, flush our toilets, even a cup of tea. Yeah. For the over 30 hours in a rebound, that was the length of time the water was out. But it's not just people like us. You've got elderly people, vulnerable people, people who are susceptible to health issues. They have no water. And the thing is, like, at least with advance notice, and I know that there are cases where you can't they can't help it if something happens, like a storm. But where they know they're going to do something, there is a duty of, there's an onus on them to ensure a duty of care for the customers, to inform them so they can either, you know, fill up their baths or fill up kettles, etc., and have some water for that time. It's, and okay, they might say, well, you can go to the shop and get bottled water, but not everybody. Like, there are a lot of people who have mobility issues who can't just run out at the drop of their hat and go to the shop to get the water. And anyway, that only is for, you know, making tea or whatever you're going to do. And the risks involved are quite substantial. I mean, apart from the fact of the health and safety issue and the well-being of customers, you have a lot of other issues. Like, okay, at this time of the year, it's summertime, so people won't have their heating systems on. But if you have no warning that there is going to be a water outage and you have a central heating system, this can really mess up that central heating system, you know, where you'll end up having to get plumbers in because there's air block, you know, airlocks, etc. You know, it's absolutely unacceptable in this day and age that Ishkeirin can get away with this. And you also have businesses, farmers, people who depend on water 24/7. And after I discovered all this yesterday, I was so frustrated that I just looked back. And the number of situations where this has happened in Donegal, like in September, I just looking back at media reports, September 2020, that was the sixth time they said in 8 weeks that there had been an issue. In April 2019, again, in May 2024, in April 2019, in January 2025, the January 2025 situation was where you had Storm Owen, so that wasn't foreseen. You know, but in other cases, it's a complete lack of management, a complete lack of care in relation to how they operate.
A complete lack of communication as well, because I do get advance notice from Ishkeirin of certain works. And the only reference to Illies that I received in advance was on the 26th, which is 2 days ago. And they said at that point, they said they didn't say it was scheduled. They said there were operational issues at Illies water treatment plant. So there's no reference to scheduled works. The only notification I received, and I believe I get them all, was that there were operational issues at the Illies water treatment plant. So at the very least, the left hand doesn't appear to know what the right hand is doing, and it probably is much worse than that.
Yeah, that's true. And the thing is, now when I spoke to the agent yesterday, I got him to go over this. I said, sorry, backtrack there. Did you say scheduled? He says, yes. I said, are you saying these were scheduled works? So I put him over it about 3 or 4 times, and I'm sure they record these phone calls, so it'll be there on the record. I put him over it a number of times. It was a scheduled. It's a scheduled, I said, yeah. So why did you not notify? And then we got into this argument about notifying people by text. And as you said, yeah, so you get a notice, but not everybody hears this on the radio, or, you know, there are...
Of course they don't. And they post it on X. And they post it on X seems to be their primary, social media source. And a fraction of people in Ireland are on the X platform, formerly Twitter.
Exactly.
If the truth be told.
You're right.
But you can sign up to MapAlerter. That is one thing that maybe I should be communicating more, that you can sign up to MapAlerter. And if there is a notice, it will be emailed or text to you. I just wonder, are enough people signed up to the MapAlerter service? Again, you know, maybe I have a role, when I say I mean us, have a role in getting that out there. I don't know. I was checking some information. I was listening to you, but I was checking some information to back up what you were saying. You mentioned the fact that if this was happening elsewhere, it would be big, big news. Yet the people of Inishowen, and to be honest with you, Fallcarra, Downing's Carrigart, Ballyshannon yesterday, you know, are any other counties experiencing outages like this, disruptions to service like this? But you say if this was elsewhere, it would be big news, but we just have to endure it.
Yeah, there seems to be, there seems to be a total disregard for Donegal to a certain extent by the mainstream national media. I mean, I know for sure if the water had been off for 24 hours in Dublin 4, it would have been the first item on the news, you know?
That's the situation. Whereas in certain other parts of the country, it just seems, well, they take second place to other issues. You know, and that's not fair. It really isn't fair. But it's also the fact that people running businesses, things like this, they do need notice. And you said about the, you know, the text system and emails. The most vulnerable people are the older people who need water, and they are not signed up for emails and going online on the internet and things like this. And indeed, you know, some younger people want to sort of cut themselves off in social media. I kind of cut myself off in social media.
Me too, except Facebook. But also a lot of those people you talk of, their principal heating supply is a back boiler in an open fire or in a stove as well.
Yes.
And the water goes off, that, you know, all of a sudden your heating could be gone as well. Patricia, listen, great points well made. We're going to get into, or on Irish Water, Ishgairn, to try and get some clarity on it. I do appreciate it, your time and helping us keep the issue to the fore. If you've any views in relation to that, do let us know. We'll be back after these. Yesterday, we had a brief inquiry in about the appointment of a neurologist at Letterkenny University Hospital, and I did commit to get an answer for you in relation to that, and I can read the response. It is as follows. Letterkenny University Hospital and HSE West and North West are pleased to confirm that a locum consultant neurologist is scheduled to commence on Monday the 8th of September. This appointment will significantly enhance the neurology services in the hospital and work towards alleviating waiting times for our patients and improving access to specialist neurology care. So a locum consultant neurologist starts work in the hospital on Monday the 8th of September. So that's a very specific response to that question. Irish Water giving us excuse after excuse. Burst, reservoir low. Every day it's coming on, but never does. Latest on the website. See below, they've sent a link. I've seen the website and I know exactly where you're coming from. Tell Patricia she's lucky she doesn't live in Uris. The water is off 2 or 3 days a week. What's going on? I mean, that's just hard to live with. I'm a foster carer in Donegal and have 2 children, says the listener. It can be weeks and weeks before social workers get back to you. One of my children has a new one, and it took 4 months for a social worker to visit. But it's not their fault. There is one link worker in our area that deals with the whole of Inishowen and one administrator, and they're inundated with paperwork. One idea would be for link workers or social workers to have one person to do the paperwork. That's the one thing holding them back. All they need is a clerical officer. Another issue is that there are a lot of children coming into the country and they end up in care along with Irish children. Too many people coming into the country. There are also not enough foster carers for the amount of children. Another solution could be to provide respite for foster carers, for someone to take the children one day a week to give the foster parent a break. And it's interesting actually in that whole conversation about Tusla Resources and the support of children, that also then has a knock-on effect for foster carers, which is very, very difficult. Thanks for your insight and helping me understand that a little bit more. I got €30 petrol in that filling station you were talking about yesterday, and they took €125 from my account. That was last Friday evening. Today, I'm still owed €89. I only noticed it because I got a notification to say I had €30 fees for missing 2 direct debits. I then had to go to the bank and put money in. Who's responsible for my fees? Listen, I don't know. That's a big one. That's an important one. Just a couple of things in relation to that. We're chasing it up off air. Is there any sign at this service station that indicates that this is a problem? Caroline, we have to mention the station. It's which one? Because it's the same one. Okay, they did give us an answer. Okay, it's the same one over again in a particular area. And it seems to be this one station where we get this notification from. It's not across the board. There's lots of sort of self-service, you know, pay and pump operators, and we don't get it routinely. It always comes back to one. So we're going to give the company a right to reply, of course. That's in the works, and we'll get back to that. Right. Like I said, Greg, this is self-inflicted. If we didn't require social work third level in order to get a job in social work, we'd have more people going in for the job. Start a social work fast course with Garda vetting and Tusla employment at the end, and we'll see a sharp increase in numbers. Indeed, and I remember your initial comment on that, and thank you very much for getting back to me to sort of bolster your point there. Paul McLaughlin of Ballacdur Garden Centre is in after 11, taking your gardening questions. My potted plants, the summer flowers, they're gone now. I ripped the last of them out. I think it's still a little bit early for winter bedding. I'm not really quite sure, but we shall see. These are some of the questions I have for Paul McLaughlin. I want to retain the flower pots, but as I say, the summer plants, as hard as I tried to retain them, they've died off now. So I'm going to be heading down the road to get some winter bedding, if that's what it's called. But maybe you've got some other questions. Maybe you're not ready to ask autumn winter questions yet, but if you are, get them into us, 08660 25000. We always get a great rush of questions when Paul comes on, so get them into us nice and early, and I guarantee you then that I'll be able to answer your questions. Coming up a little later on as well, we're going to be talking about this bee that's being spotted around Ireland and the potential impact it could have on the honeybee population. So there are those that would be concerned about bees out in the wild, and there's many of you out there keeping bees as well, so we'll try and ascertain what the potential risk is and how we move forward in relation to that. So stay tuned for that as well. That and so much more besides. And just to remind you that we still have €15,000 up for grabs as part of our summer mega cash draw giveaway. $2,500 being given away on David James's show tomorrow afternoon. $2,500 the following Friday morning on Lee Gooch's Naughty Alarm Clock. And then $10,000 on this show tomorrow week. There are three draws, three big money prizes. If you want to join the list of winners, well, you can only do so by having a ticket. If you bought your ticket right at the beginning, relax, you're in. But if you want to be in the three draws, you need to get your ticket between now and around about this time tomorrow. Give us a call at the radio station. If you want your ticket, it's 07491 25000, or go on our website.